Welcome to The Word for Today, the broadcast ministry of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the entire Bible. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with the promotion of Haman as we pick up in Esther, chapter 2, verse 21. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
Now the stage is set. This is all background. It's been happening over a four-year period of time. Vashti rebels against the order of the king. A beauty contest is held, and Esther comes out number one. When the king sees Esther, he falls in love with her. He gives her the royal crown. Esther is now queen. But now this second little incident, her cousin Mordecai, who hangs around the gates, sort of as a protector to Esther, interested in her welfare. While he is there, somehow he becomes knowledgeable of a plot to assassinate the king. And so he tells Esther about these two fellows planning this assassination. Esther tells the king in Mordecai's name. They have an investigation. They find that it is true. There is a real plot to assassinate the king. The men are hanged. And the whole thing is recorded in the chronicles of the king. No reward is given to Mordecai for the information at this point. That's all a part of God's plan. This whole thing is the stage is now set by God. He's got Esther on the throne. The king owes a favor to Mordecai that has not yet been paid. That's all background. Now, as the story begins to unfold, we'll see how God's hand was here working in advance, years in advance, setting people in strategic places that they might be there at the appropriate time, that they can be the instrument of God for salvation. God sets his people in his places, sometimes years in advance. We don't know what God has in mind 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road. God works over a long-term period. And after these things, did King Ahasuerus promote Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, and advanced him and set his seat above all of the princes that were with him? The term Agagite is a term for the king used by the Amalekites, the descendants of Amalek, who was the grandson of Esau. Esau's son Eliphaz bare a son whom he named Amalek, and he was thus the grandson of Esau. Esau in the scriptures is a man after the flesh, living after the flesh, who despises the things of the spirit. He despised his birthright. He is the only man I can think of in Scripture of whom it is declared that God hated him. But he hated God and the things of God. And he has become a type of those after the flesh. And through Amalek, the man after the flesh, he becomes a type of the fleshly side of us, or the man of the flesh, Amalek and the Amalekites. They were the ones that attacked Israel when they first came out of Egypt, there in the wilderness, attacked the rear part, the weak and the sickly and the aged, defeated later by Joshua. They were the ones that attacked the children of Israel when they tried to come into the promised land from Kadesh Barnea and joined together with the Canaanites in driving them out. Later, they joined with the Moabites in attack against Israel. Later on, when the Midianites filled the land at the time of Gideon, they had joined, the Amalekites had joined with the Midianites and covered the land like grasshoppers. They were the perennial enemy to the people of God. And God had declared that he would have war with Amalek from generation to generation. There would be no peace. But God also declared that the day would come when God would wipe out the remembrance of Amalek from off the face of the earth. And God also declared that Amalek would perish forever. God told Moses to write in the law when they came in and settled the land of promise that they were to settle the score with Amalek because of the way they attacked them there in the wilderness. And they were to go down and to utterly destroy them, not to spare them at all. And in the time of King Saul, the time came for this extermination. And he was ordered by God through the prophet Samuel to go down and to destroy the Amalekites. But he failed to do so. He left King Agag alive. He brought back the finest of the cattle and the sheep. And for this sin, he was deposed in God's eyes from being the king over Israel. Haman, the Agagite, the enemy of God's people, the one who hated the people of God, a type of the flesh. Mordecai, on the other hand, becomes a type of God's people, a spiritual man, a type of the spirit, and thus there is the warfare against the flesh, against the spirit against the flesh. So all of the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him. But Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. And when the king's servants which were in the gate said to Mordecai, "Why do you disobey the king's commandment?" It came to pass when they were daily speaking unto him, and he did not hearken to them, that they told Haman to see whether Mordecai's matters would stand, for he had told him that he was a Jew. They said, "Why don't you bow?" He said, "I'm a Jew." The Jews were under the command not to bow down or to worship any god. You remember the three Hebrew children who refused to bow to the image that Nebuchadnezzar had made because they were Jews. They would not bow down. And thus, when day after day they got on to Mordecai for just standing there, they said, "Hey, man, you know, why don't you bow?" He said, "I'm a Jew." So they came to Haman and they said, "You know, there's this guy there at the gate, Mordecai. He doesn't bow to you, man. And he just stands there and he says the reason is he's a Jew." So Haman then noticed Mordecai. When he came out, he looked for him and he saw this little Jew standing there. And then was Haman full of wrath. And he wasn't satisfied just to get Mordecai. For they showed to him that he was a Jew, and therefore Haman sought to destroy all the Jews that were throughout the whole kingdom of Ahasuerus, even the people of Mordecai. His anger and wrath was so great, just to get Mordecai would not appease or satisfy him. He was going to exterminate the whole Jewish race. Again, the anger or the malice of the Amalekites against God's people. It's demonstrated here. Now, in the first month, that is the month Nisan, of the 12th year of Ahasuerus. What year did he have his feast? Third year. What year was Esther made queen? Seventh year. Very good. Now we are 5 years later. Isn't that interesting? Esther's been there for 5 years as queen. And yet the reason for her being there is not yet revealed. The purpose of God for her being there has not yet been fulfilled. Yet she has been there. God has her there in advance. And many times God, in working out his purposes in our lives, is working years in advance. And we don't even realize it. We don't even know it. But he is putting us in position, putting us into place years in advance. Our problem, we live on a day-by-day basis, and we look at today, and we look at tomorrow, and we say, nothing's happening in my life. I've been here for 2 whole weeks, and nothing's happening, you know. Well, God's purposes are not always accomplished in 2 weeks. Sometimes it's years. And here it is, 5 years later, that we now begin to see why God has put these people in these positions. He's got them there well ahead of the time that they will be used. And so in the first month of Nisan, the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Pur, or lots, and this is where you get the name Purim, because he was determined he was going to try and exterminate them, but he wanted to get the mystical, you know, right day and superstition, you know, there's going to be the perfect date for extermination. So they cast lots to find out which day this decree should be fulfilled. So the first month, that is the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Ahasuerus, they cast Pur, that is the lot, before Haman from day to day and from month to month until the 12th month, that is the month of Adar, or equivalent to our month of March. And this was the psychic month, you know, in which they were to make the decree to kill all the Jews. And Haman said unto the king Ahasuerus, there is a certain people that are scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the provinces of thy kingdom. The Jews have been thoroughly scattered by the Assyrians until they were in all of the 127 provinces of the kingdom of Ahasuerus. And their laws are diverse from all people. Neither will they keep the king's laws. And therefore, it isn't to the king's profit to keep these people alive. So if it pleases the king, let it be written that they may be destroyed. And I will pay 10,000 talents of silver into the hands of those that have the charge of the business to bring it into the king's treasury. Say, I'll give you $6 million if you'll let me carry out this eradication. I'll see that it comes into the king's treasures. And the king took his ring from his hand. This is that ring of authority. And gave it to Haman, the son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the Jew's enemy. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. So the king just trusts Haman, says, hey, you don't have to pay me. The silver is given to you. And do what you want to these people. And then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month. And there it was written according to all that Haman had commanded. I mean, he didn't waste any time. The next day, man, he gets all of these decrees made. And they were given to the king's lieutenants and to the governors that were over every province and to the rulers of every people of every province according to the writing. And to every people after their language, in the name of the king Ahasuerus, it was written and sealed with the king's ring. This is official business protocol. And the letters were sent by the messengers unto all of the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, and to take the spoil of them as a prey. In other words, if you killed the Jews and his family, then you could have all of his possessions. It was just sort of a reward and an incentive, really, to go in and kill him, because then you could take everything that they had. And so the 13th day of the 12th month was the day that was established for the extermination of the Jewish race. The copy of the writing for a commandment is to be given in every province, and it was published unto all of the people that they should be ready for that day. And the messengers went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan the palace, and the king and Haman sat down to drink. But the city of Shushan was perplexed. I mean, the people wondered, what in the world's going on? Here, you know, they can make a decree, eradicate all the Jews, and then they can sit down and drink over it. You wonder, don't you, if Hitler was maybe an Agagite? It is interesting how that the Jew has been the target for extermination many times in history. No national ethnic group that I know of has had so much hatred and animosity vented towards them as has the Jew. Tragically, the history of the church is not clean in this matter. But there were times in the history of the church when the church joined in the assault against the Jews, to the eternal shame of the church and those that were in charge of the church during that period of time. For no matter what you may think about the Jew today, God has said, and he's given a covenant to Abraham, I will bless those that bless you and curse those that curse you. We are really, as Christians, compelled by the scriptures to love them. And surely Paul manifested a tremendous love for the Jew. So great that he said, I could wish myself to be accursed from God for my brethren's sake after the flesh. If he could see the salvation and the redemption of Israel, he himself would give himself for it, he said. I could wish myself accursed from God for their sake. How that should speak to us and our attitudes toward the Jews today. You say, but they rejected the Messiah. And they are doing this and they're doing that. Ours still is to bless and to love. God will take care of the Jews. But these people have suffered. They've suffered horrible atrocities throughout history. And of course, the latest being that Holocaust. But God's purposes are yet to be fulfilled. And even as God positioning Esther and Mordecai and all, so God has positioned the Jew today back in the land. It's part of God's total plan. It's a part of this whole overall program of God. And he's getting again all of the characters in position. And now they've been in the land and they're positioned. They're ready for these last events of these last days, that the prophecies of the scriptures might be fulfilled. The plan of God is working out. And it may not happen tomorrow or the next day, but it's happening soon. They've been positioned there, and God has them there for his purposes. The nation has been reborn, and the purposes of God shall be established. And it's exciting to see how God works. And God is working in each of our lives, and he has us here in this position for a reason. You are where you are for God's purpose. Esther, no doubt, had no inkling at all of why God had her be chosen. She didn't know that 5 years down the road, she would be the instrument that God would use to save the Jewish people from extermination. Even as you have no inkling of why God has allowed certain things to happen or why you are where you are, but God is positioning each of our lives for his purpose, for his plan. And as we move on into Esther, We'll see the unfolding of this exciting story, and we'll begin to understand how God was working well in advance his purposes in these lives. And we'll see what God is doing in our lives and for what purpose.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse venture through the book of Esther in our next lesson, as we follow the Lamentation of the Jews. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study of Esther. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. Now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's closing prayer.
Father, we thank you for your purposes and your plans for our lives, that the whole story, Lord, will be unfolded and the purpose of God might be manifest, that we might rejoice, O Lord, even in the midst of the prison and in the midst of the pit, because, Lord, your hand has led us all the way. So continue your work in our lives, dear Lord. Bring it to fruition. May we not bail out before you've accomplished your purposes. But Lord, may we just hang in there, trusting in you until you bring it to pass. In Jesus' name.
I'd like to draw your attention to a couple of very special resources by Pastor Chuck Smith that answer some of the many questions about the third person of the Trinity. The first of these two resources is entitled The Person of the Holy Spirit and contains 12 messages that explain the baptism of the Holy Spirit in detail, as well as how the Holy Spirit works in the life of the believer. Now, the second resource is entitled The Gifts of the Holy Spirit and consists of 19 messages covering such subjects as healing, prophecy, and faith. Pastor Chuck not only explains how and why the gifts of the Holy Spirit are available to the church today, but he also encourages believers to fully understand the working of the Holy Spirit in a Christian's life. Once again, you'll be asking for The Person of the Holy Spirit and The Gifts of the Holy Spirit. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. Once again, that's 1-800-272-9673. WORD.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.